Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Work day. Gosh, it's hard for me to get into high gear after a long weekend like that. It's a special edition of Coffee at KYUK because it's yours truly. It's my birthday today. I'm 45 years old this morning. So that's one thing worth mentioning. And I also want to give a shout out to Squirrel Man. Good morning, Squirrel Man. If you'd like to do a shout out to anybody, you can send an email to coffee at KYUK. We'd be happy to do that. That's a shout-out to Squirrel Man in Tuluksac. Good morning. Now, before I get rolling, Petra Harpik, and I'm Grady Deaton, of course. Petra Harpik has lots of stuff happening, and we had a special guest who's just called in. I don't know who it is, but Petra's going to introduce them. Go ahead, Petra.
Grady, I've scheduled a special guest. Go ahead, special guest.
Good morning, Bethel. This is Zhao calling from Singapore. And Grady stole my thunder because I was going to announce that it's his birthday. So everyone, don't forget to be awesome to Grady today.
Oh, that was a surprise. I didn't realize that that's what Petra had going on. It's great to talk to you again this morning, Zhao.
Thanks, Zhao, for calling in.
Yes, have a great day. I'll speak to you soon.
All right.
Well, I'll have trouble staying not flush and red here now. I'm a little embarrassed, but thank you for that, Petra. That was Zhao Go from Singapore. She's my good friend. Well, in the studio today, I'm sitting down right now with, I know it's Janelle, but I've lost Janelle's last name. Oh, Janelle McCarr. And Janelle works for AVCP in the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families offices as the Deputy Director for TANF. And currently, she's the Acting Director. Go ahead and tell me a little bit about that. How long have you been there? How long have you been at TANF for?
I've been with AVCP since May 2007.
And you've been in various roles there, working as an eligibility technician and an eligibility specialist. But for how long have you been the Deputy Director?
I've been the deputy director since 2015.
And, I noticed when we were talking, you're currently the acting director. That means that they're currently actively pursuing that position. You mentioned that they could go to the AVCP website or apply in person at the Lomac building if they were interested in applying for the directorship of TANF. What are the requirements for that job?
Really didn't read the job description.
But it's available on the AVCP website, is that right?
Yes.
All right, cool beans. Now, let's talk a little bit about TANF. I know that I, maybe like many others, had a misconception. I thought that Temporary Assistance for Needy Families was the same thing as food stamps, and it's not. So please clarify that for me.
A lot of people get food stamps and TANF confused. Food stamps helps people with food and also purchasing like nets. But with TANF, we provide cash assistance on a monthly basis.
Now, once someone has gotten their application approved with TANF, there's other services like support services and emergency fuel oil, et cetera. Can you tell me a little bit about that? About the other services that are available once someone gets eligible?
When someone applies, they're eligible to receive gas on a monthly basis in order to help with subsistence. And also we provide heating fuel to those that run out of stove oil. And majority of the people that don't know about it, they can apply for TANF, and we can assist with heating fuel, especially during the winter months when it's cold out.
Now, you guys service about just under 500 clients per month and process about 100 to 140 applications per month. But who are those people? Who's eligible for TANF services?
Families with children under the age of 18 are eligible, and also pregnant women in their last trimester, that are in months between 7 to 9 months, or caretaker relatives that are eligible that are taking care of their sisters or their brothers, their nieces, their nephews, their grandchildren are eligible for TANF.
And I believe that when we were talking earlier, you said that some of the not misconceptions, but not knowing that you're eligible might be one of the barriers for applying for services. So let's just reiterate that again. That's people who are pregnant, 7 to 8 months pregnant?
7 to 9.
7 to 9 months pregnant, or anybody with children under 18 may be eligible and should go ahead and check.
Yes.
And they can do that by contacting their village case manager at the tribal offices, or they can call AVCP toll-free, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's 1-800-478-3157.
Yes.
And they could call directly to 543-7300 or 543-7400, but there's something important. Don't do what Grady does and just start telling the person on the phone what you need. Have them connect you with the TANF office, right?
Yes.
Ask for TANF. Now, we do have some, you have a wide staff there. You have eligibility specialists, case managers. I'm going to have a bunch of people in over the course of the next few weeks. We'll be talking with Stephanie Atzerak, who's an eligibility specialist. She's going to explain eligibility requirements in more detail, some of those things we just talked about. And we'll have Joseph Hunter come in. He's a case manager supervisor, I believe works for you. He'll come in to explain the application process for TANF. And then later in the month, Catherine Active will come in. She's a case manager specialist as well. And she'll be talking about the supportive services and the timeline to receive benefits. So we'll be covering all that stuff in detail. But while we have you in the office, let's talk about you specifically. You've been there for about 12 years. 11 years. And you've been in the role as deputy director for, is that 5 or 6?
About so.
And how do you describe your job?
I oversee the TANF department. I assist with cases that are in dire need. I supervise the TANF department, and I make sure that all the benefits are worked out or worked on, along with the TANF applications and also getting the word out.
Now, I believe that there's a misconception probably. There's a lot of paperwork that someone has to do. Do you find that people are surprised with how little paperwork there is in the actual process?
They always say that there's a lot of TANF applications or TANF forms to fill out at when it's the beginning, or they think that there's a lot of forms to fill out when there's not a lot of forms to fill out, but when you're approved, there's only 2 forms a month that they would be filling out once they're eligible for TANF benefits.
So there are a few forms to fill out in the beginning, but you have specialists that assist with that, I'm sure?
Yes.
And then once in the process, there's not a lot of reoccurring paperwork. Tell me a little bit about, and I kind of forgot to ask you this beforehand, but do you have any awesome anecdotes or success stories, you know, about the effectiveness or the impact of TANF dollars on a particular family? You don't have to get detail about the who, but in a general sense.
One of the families that I had assisted, they were homeless, and I wanted to make sure that they had a home, and I did everything out of my way to assist them. It was a while back, and I made sure that the family had clothing to wear, and we went over to go shopping for one of the children. And also, I had, he wanted to be able to give me something, but I couldn't accept it. And I told him, what I'm doing right now is to help you, and I'm glad that I helped you. And I also make sure that people, when I go to the villages to assist them, if they really need the help. And I try to go do everything out of my way to help that family.
So if someone's already receiving food stamp benefits, they're likely eligible for TANF as well. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So don't think that was all your options. If you're a current food stamp recipient, check with TANF and see if you're also eligible for assistance there. This assistance is made available through federal funds, am I right?
Yes.
And to not avail yourself of something, you know, I've been in different charts in my life, and I just think that everyone should avail themselves of all the support services that are available to them so that they can have the best chance for themselves and for the larger community as well. We all want ourselves, our neighbors and friends to be healthy and fed and to avail themselves of the benefits that are available to them. Would you find that? I think you'd agree with me, probably.
Yes.
Probably biased in that regard. I made my notes all over the place, and I'm looking all over here. I have one more thing I wanted to really get involved in. Oh, I know what it was. Subsistence stuff. I wanted to know about your subsistence activities. You mentioned you like to berry pick, and you had a nice anecdote about why you like the salmon berries best. Tell me why you like picking the salmon berries the best.
When I go onto the tundra during the summer months, I see a lot of orange, and it can be widespread. And also walking on the tundra in order to get to them, and also being outside. And when I see the salmon berries, when you come to a certain spot, it looks like the berries were spilled, and you just want to pick them all.
Janelle, I'm going to segue into closing here. I just want to thank you for sitting with us today. Let me reiterate a few of the points, though. We want to make sure people know there's a difference between food stamps and TANF. We want to make sure that people know that people with children under the age of 18 are likely eligible, and pregnant mothers in their third trimester are also eligible, and they should not hesitate to contact AVCP toll-free at 1-800-478-3157 or directly at 543-7300 and or 7400, but make sure and ask for TANF. On the rebroadcast today, we're likely to have Mary Peltola on with some questions that Petra's going to be asking her. And so stay tuned for the rebroadcast sometime right before 1 for that. And as usual, we're interested in your subsistence photographs. Send them in to coffee@kyuk.org. And indeed, if you have any information relative to future subsistence activities or information you'd like to see us carry on the show, also email us at coffee@kyuk.org. I'm looking for a musician for Friday. That's a call out to all the people who've promised and haven't showed up. Get in here and give us some tunes. We want to share some music with everyone. That's about all I have. I just want to make sure... Wait, am I really early still? I probably am still early. I want to make sure people send us their subsistence stuff, photos for the website, to coffee@kyuk.org, guests that want to come on, information you'd like to see us supply. If you just want to shout out to me for my birthday, you can send it to coffee@kyuk.org. If you want to brag on how great a show Petra's been putting together, you can also send me and her a message together at coffee@kyuk so we can know about the positive impact we're making. And if you'd like to do a shout out, like we shouted out this morning to Squirrel Man in Tuluksac, you can also send that out our way. Thank you again for listening. Don't forget to be awesome to each
other. Mary, Guyana Dailut Nunokumi. Hi, Mary. Thank you for coming in this morning. KRITFC had their second teleconference. It was short and sweet, not too complicated, and it lasted for 35 minutes. I'd like you to start off with the closures first.
Okay, yes. We did have our second meeting on Monday, and even though it was Memorial Day, we decided to go ahead and do it because... you know, state and federal holidays don't really mean that much if you're doing subsistence lifestyle, living a subsistence life. So we went ahead with it. Plus, it was only the second meeting, and there weren't a lot of folks that called in. But there still was a good discussion. So one of the things that was asked and we talked about is the closures that the state has implemented. Again, we're under state management at the moment. Through June 12 as it stands. So under the state management, their closures, and it's really to protect the headwaters, Chinook salmon, the kings that are bound for the headwaters. So from May 25th, which was last Friday, the River is closed from the mouth of the Kuskokwim up to Tooloksack. And then starting May 30th, tomorrow, it's closed from Tooloksack to Aniak. On June 4th, it'll be closed from Aniak to the Holitna River. And then on June 9th, it'll be closed from Holitna to the headwaters. And again, that's to protect the Chinook going to the headwaters.
During these closures, are subsistence users allowed to use hook and line, dip nets, fish wheels, beach seines, and set nets?
Set nets are allowable when Fish and Game has those openings, and there will be a set net, 4-inch set net opening tomorrow from 11 to 11. And yes, you can use those other means of fishing. The other means of fishing are allowable because if you catch a king, you could still let it go and it would live. If those means are used, they want to make sure that, like if you use a fish wheel, that there's a box on there for a live release of king salmon, and then you can keep anything else that you catch.
So if I set my net out tomorrow and I catch a king salmon, am I able to keep it?
Yes, they do. Fish and Game says that they do expect incidental catch or bycatch, and you are allowed to keep those kings. The 4-inch set nets are not, they don't want people to target kings, but if you accidentally catch one, you can keep it.
So if I went out on my boat tomorrow and was dip netting for any fish and I catch a king salmon, am I able to keep it or do I have to let it go?
You are supposed to let it go.
Okay. Of course, you said there's fish opening tomorrow at 11 a.m. Will Fish and Wildlife be out there? Fish and Game will be out on the river?
I don't know if they'll have law enforcement on the river. Again, it's from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. and I'm not really sure. Fish and Game and Fish and Wildlife would have to answer about their law enforcement plans.
Okay, gill net restrictions.
For that 4-inch chance to fish for whitefish, the net has to be 60 feet or shorter and then 45 meshes deep and cannot be used more than 400 feet from the high water mark. And all of that, the reason they put that is kind of a technical way of saying they're not supposed to target, fishermen are not supposed to target kings.
When is the next Kuskokwim River Salmon Working Group meeting?
The next state working group meeting is set for tomorrow, Wednesday, May 30th, from 10 to noon.
And where is the location?
That's at the Fish and Game office. It's over by where Kilbuck School used to be. It used to be the Public Health Nursing Building, the old one. And then there's also a teleconference line. Their meetings are open to the public. The number is 1-800-635-6338. And their passcode is 58756-pound.
Kevin Whitworth, he's a fisheries biologist for the Fish Commission. He'll be hiring at least 6 people to work at the Takotna River Weir and the Pitkus Fork Weir. When does he head up and what's expected from his team once he collects fish data?
Well, he's preparing right now, but they put their weir in when the water's lower. Right now it's exceptionally high, and he's his target date is July 1. That's when fish really start showing up there.
The Federal Subsistence Board met on May 16 and 17 in Anchorage. That weren't complete during their meeting from last month. There are 2 special action requests, temporary special action request FSA 18-01, and there was no action taken on this item. Please tell me a little bit more about this FSA 18-01.
Okay, and these meetings happened on the 16th and 17th of May, and basically, there is no pending action right now. So 1801, Federal Special or Fisheries Special Action Request, it's a temporary special action request, 1801. That was submitted by the refuge manager, and he his proposal was to close federal waters to Chinook fishing to only federally qualified users. And the dates that he proposed were June 12th to August 30th. And again, it's to limit harvest to specifically to federally qualified users, which means residents of the Kuskokwim River. And that 1801 proposal also did not have in it a community harvest permit system. ACIAC also submitted a temporary special action request, and that number was 1803. The dates that ACIAC was hoping there would be federal management was May 20th to July 1. And then that was also to close to federally qualified users. They also wanted an allocation system that would allow residents with traditional and customary use to harvest Chinook. And it also included the Bethel fish camps that were determined in 2015. And then they wanted to implement a permit system. Back in 2015, people used what they called the designated fisherman system, and ACIAC wanted to do that again. So what the board decided, they didn't take action on ACIAC's proposal, and they modified the refuge manager's proposal. Their decision was that there would be federal management from June 12th to July 15th. They did not require a permitting system, but they said it's allowable, and they may use it, not shall. They didn't have to, but it's an option if the feds wanted to go that route. And that was basically what they decided.
Well, you mentioned about the community-based allocation system. It's 10 right now, right?
Oh, that. So in the federal waters, we don't have anything because it's not under federal management. And in state waters, ANIAC and above, and that would be after June 11th, there is a household permit system that they're looking at where the maximum would be 10 per household.
I need to understand this. Has this been tabled, or will this be in discussion?
It has not been tabled, and to even amend it to a smaller number, it would have to go through the Board of Fish process, and they would have to amend it, and that would take a year or maybe two. It's a long process. What folks upriver have said on their own is that they would be willing voluntarily on their own to setting different household limits. And what they have, and it's not everyone in the state waters, but a lot of the leaders there, like Barb Carlson, who's on the working group, Nick Kamaroff, who's the chair for the Fish Commission, and other people, Jonathan Samuelson is a commissioner for Georgetown, they have said whatever the harvest is in the lower river per household, that's what they'll go for in the state waters.
The Federal Subsistence Board news release for May 23rd said in the second paragraph that from June 12th to July 15th, that the federal waters of the Kuskokwim River drainage will be closed to harvest king salmon except by federally qualified subsistence users. Does this mean that during this closure, federal qualified subsistence users are allowed to keep any kings accidentally caught by set nets, dip nets, fish wheels, or beach seines? Or does this paragraph mean that this is only for the community-based allocation system?
The Federal Subsistence Board said that the river will be under federal management from June 12 to July 15, and that the rivers are closed to everyone except for federally qualified users. That means that the people that live along the river. So if the in-season manager with the Fish Commission say that there are chances to go fishing, openings to go fishing, people can go out with 6-inch gear, 6-inch mesh nets. Last year it was drift or set net, and they can keep what they catch. So, but if they don't have an opening, if there isn't, open fishing for federally qualified users, that and people use those other means, they do need to release those. And so far under federal management, they haven't provided the 4-inch whitefish opportunities, so that hasn't been an issue yet.
Okay, this is the temporary special action that expires on July 15th, right?
Yes.
KRITFC hand-delivered the emergency special action to Ken Stalnecker. Has there been any action taken on this ESA?
Not yet. Our four in-season managers are going to meet with Ken Stalnecker, the refuge manager, today, Tuesday the 29th at 1 p.m., to ask him again if he would please consider federalizing the river. During the Federal Subsistence Board meeting, they were very repetitive in saying Ken Stalnecker has a delegation of authority letter from the Federal Subsistence Board, so the Federal Subsistence Board does not need to make those decisions. It's already within Ken's power to federalize the river because of his delegation of authority letter from the Federal Subsistence Board. So that's the avenue that the in-season managers want to go, since the river was not federalized at the Federal Subsistence Board level. They're going now to Ken and saying, since you do have, it's under your discretion, would you please have the federal waters of the Kuskokwim River under federal management?
Who wrote the special action request?
The emergency special action letter was written by the Fish Commission.
When and where will the Senate hearing take place?
Oh, I was called today, this morning. There, Senator Sullivan and Murkowski are looking at having a Senate hearing about basically subsistence and food sovereignty and food security in rural Alaska, and they're looking at a date of June 20th to have that hearing in D.C.
In D.C., okay.
Yeah. Murkowski's office wanted it to be a field hearing, which would have been a lot better for us since we're busy fishing on June 12th, but or that time frame. But they weren't able to do field hearing, so they're going to have a hearing in Washington, D.C.
Who will be flying out to Washington, D.C. for this meeting?
That's not determined yet. They're just setting a date right now and coming up with their invitation list.
Oyana Dailutin today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Petra.
You're welcome.
Could you tell me your name and where you're from?
Michael Canuck from Bethel, Alaska.
The Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, or KRITFC, has weekly teleconference every Monday from 10 a.m. to noon. Are you aware of this?
No.
What are your thoughts?
I don't have clear thoughts right now.
Are you aware of the fish closure that happened on May 25th?
No.
Will you be fishing tomorrow?
Is it open tomorrow?
It's open tomorrow. Subsistence fishing is open tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Will you fish?
Yeah, I
will. Hi, good morning. My name is Joseph Hunter, Jr. I'm from Bethel, Alaska. And I was not aware about the Kuskokwim Commission, Fish Commission. And about the closure, I heard it over the radio, so I was aware of the closure. And no, I will not be fishing tomorrow because my motor was stolen off my boat.
I'm Josephine Daniel. Born and raised in Bethel, Alaska. I'm currently not aware of the Fish Commission or Intertribal Fish teleconference that they have on Mondays, but recently I'm made aware of that, like today. And my thoughts on it are, you know, they're going to make the decisions that will need to be made regardless of its closures or allowing people to fish as needed or as fish escape. And I'm not aware of the closure that that happened on the 25th of May, but I don't see us fishing either in the near future just due to the lack of king salmon. If the kings come along, then we fish.
Hi, I'm Walter Connick from Bethel, Alaska. I am not aware of the weekly Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission on the radio. So my thoughts about the closure, no comments right now because we're in the process of getting our racks and boats and motors ready for the season, so we're not ready. We will probably not go fishing tomorrow, maybe next week. That's a maybe, but it's too early right now.
Brian Koenig from Bethel, Alaska.
Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, or KRITFC, has weekly teleconference every Monday from 10 a.m. to noon. Are you aware of this?
No, I was not.
What are your thoughts?
I cannot think of any right now.
Are you aware of the fish closure that happened on May 25th?
Yes.
Will you fish tomorrow?
Likely not.
Thank you.
William Brink, I'm from Bethel.
Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commissioner, KRA, TFC has weekly teleconference every Monday from 10 a.m. to noon. Are you aware of this?
No, I'm not.
What are your thoughts about it?
I have no idea.
Are you aware of the fish closure that happened on May 25th?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Will you fish tomorrow?
I'm thinking about it. Maybe I will or maybe I won't.
Oriana.
Yes. We'll be right back.